Luke chapter 19, I want to draw your attention to the verses. We'll read verses 1 and 2 together of Luke 19. Verses 1 and 2, we read, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Now, as you come into this chapter, the Lord Jesus is making his homeward journey. The Lord Jesus, of course, was eternal. He was the one who was, who is, and always will be. And of course, his home was ultimately in heaven. Like the little chorus that we would sometimes sing, this world was not his home. He was just a passing through. Christ had come to earth. He took upon himself the form of a man, the form of a servant. And he was now on his journey back home to heaven. But of course, there was something that needed to occur before the Lord Jesus could enter home. He needed to complete that task that God the Father had sent him to do. He needed to travel to Jerusalem, to suffer the death of the crucifixion, and to die on behalf of his people. And then on the third day, to be resurrected and ascended back to home. And here in Luke chapter 19, it's not long before Christ heads home. And here we find that it was perhaps just a few days, or at most a week, before the Lord Jesus would go to Jerusalem and die the death of the cross. Like the plane as it approaches the runway before landing, Christ here, he's straightening himself and he's setting his compass for home. And Jericho was one of the last stops that he would make before going to Jerusalem, dying on the cross and eventually heading home. As he was headed to Jerusalem, the place called Jericho was a beehive of activity. Jesus' fame had now spread abroad. The dusty streets of Jericho, they were awash with people. The Lord Jesus, as he was entering into and going through that city, I imagine the place to be awash with individuals. As news began to spread that Christ the Messiah was going through Jericho, and as he was heading the other side and heading to Jerusalem, there was a tremendous crowd beginning to gather. They all wanted to see and get a glimpse of this self-proclaimed Messiah and this man who had worked many a miracle in their midst. And in amongst that crowd, there was a little man named Zacchaeus. He couldn't see the Lord Jesus. The crowd was too big, and he was a man of little stature. And so he thought to himself he would climb a sycamore tree to get a better view. And as Christ was heading through Jericho, as he was heading to Jerusalem, it was the last time that he would pass through Jericho. Oh, he had passed through there before. He had done a miracle and worked there in the past. But as I said, he was now on his homeward journey. And this was the last time he would go through this city. And as he was going through Jericho for the last time, he came to the bottom of that tree. As he came to the bottom of that tree where Zacchaeus was, he looked up into the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And on his last journey through Jericho, Christ, he came to where Zacchaeus was. He sought out Zacchaeus and he eventually saved Zacchaeus. And like Zacchaeus, your opportunity to be saved is not tomorrow, and nor was it yesterday. Your opportunity to be saved is today. As Christ said to Zacchaeus today, so the Lord Jesus says today to you. Oh, tonight, you do not know, but this could be the last opportunity you have. This could be the last opportunity, as it was the last time that Zacchaeus would ever see, get a glimpse of Jesus Christ, as he was heading through Jericho for the last time. Oh, tonight could be your last opportunity. Ivan, as we were thinking about this, I thought about Dr. Brian Green. He had plans made. He was due to preach in our church in Macrofelt this morning, and yet he passed away last night. And he didn't realize it, but he had preached his last sermon. He had previously preached his last sermon. And it reminds us of the brevity of life. Oh, tonight, today is the opportunity for your salvation. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Even as we were looking at this morning, Why put off till tomorrow what you can do today? Indeed, in 2 Corinthians 6, we read in verse 2 that now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. And the context here, Paul is actually speaking to the church at Corinth, and he is referring to the first coming of Jesus. He is quoting Isaiah here as he spoke of Christ coming, and he reminded the Corinthian believers that as Christ had now died, and as Christ was now raised again from the grave, that today was their opportunity. You see, now is not the wrong time to be saved. It is most definitely the right time to be saved. And like Zacchaeus, you may never get another opportunity. The Lord Jesus, here he is. He's passing through Jericho for the last time, straightening himself for home, setting his map, as it were, for home. And here's Zacchaeus. He doesn't know it for himself. He doesn't know it. But it was the last time. And Christ said to him today, and I say to you this evening, be very, very careful with trifling with tomorrow. And I would say to you tonight, be wise. Be wise. Listen to the call of Christ and come to him today. And so tonight I want to draw your attention very simply to the conversion of Zacchaeus. The conversion of Zacchaeus. I want you to notice firstly here the person of Zacchaeus. We meet this person, this man named Zacchaeus, in verse 2, where we read, "Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich." The term publican, it simply means a tax collector. Zacchaeus was a tax collector for the Roman government. But you'll notice the intricate way that Dr. Luke describes him. He doesn't just describe him as a publican, but he says in verse 2, he was the chief among the publicans. And this simply means that Zacchaeus, he had been a publican for a little while, and he had now climbed the ladder in his occupation. He had men working under him. This is interesting, actually, because although Zacchaeus was working for the Roman government, Zacchaeus himself was a Jew. His name comes from a Jewish name, the name Zacchai. You actually read it in Nehemiah chapter 7, which is a Jewish name. And it shows that Zacchaeus here was a Jew. His name actually means pure. And here he was, Zacchaeus, and he was pure by name, but he most certainly was not pure by nature. The tax collectors, they were known for being miserable and corrupt wretches in Bible times. They really worked for the enemy, the Roman government. And they were also widely known for abusing their position, as they really were the taxman of the day. They would often come to individuals and ask them for more money than it was due. And to state this, and it seems that Luke emphasizes this, he says in verse 2, concerning Zacchaeus, and he was rich. And so I want you to imagine the view of Zacchaeus from the lenses of a Jew. Here's a man, and he's a Jew. He's a fellow native of Israel, but he's working for the enemy. He's working for the Roman government, taking more than he is required. And here we find the worst of the worst in the eyes of society, the lowest of the low. And yet this was the person that Christ came and Christ sought out and Christ saved that day. You see, Christ saves both the highest of sinners as well as the lowest of sinners. He saves those who do not have the marks of sin in their life, but he also saved those who are steeped in sin. And maybe tonight you feel yourself just like Zacchaeus. Perhaps there's been things you've said, things you've done, crimes you've committed before the God of heaven, and you feel yourself to be the lowest of the low. Maybe not perhaps in terms of society, but maybe spiritually. Maybe you feel yourself to be the lowest of the low, a deep, dyed sinner. Well, if Christ can save Zacchaeus, then Christ can save you. In reminding us of this wonderful truth, Paul, he spoke of himself. And in speaking of his conversion, he wrote to young Timothy. And he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, "This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And Paul here, he speaks of Christ's desire to save sinners. He said it's a trusty saying. You can accept it. You can trust it. Christ Jesus, he comes into the world to save sinners. And then he gives them a wonderful example. He said, I was the chief. I was the worst of sinners. And yet Christ saved me. And as well as saving the most pleasant of sinners, Christ saves the worst of sinners. Christ, he saves the most prominent, the most preeminent, the most immoral, terrible, dreadful of sinners. Maybe you feel yourself like that this evening. Maybe perhaps you say your sin is deeper than the deepest sea. Well, Christ, he saves the vilest of sinners. He saves those who perhaps feel themselves to be beyond the reach of his grace. He reaches down and he reaches out and he saves the worst of sinners. I'm sure you will know well the words of Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Well, those words, they were uttered by John Newton. And he certainly was the worst of sinners in a sense. John Newton, before he was saved, he was a wild and drunken sailor. His language was so bad that the captain of the ship that he worked on, he often rebuked him. And as a sailor, the captain would come and would whip him and would chain him for being so rebellious. And yet God came and God saved that old vile wretch of a man. And he made him a minister as well as a hymn writer. And I say to you tonight that if God could save cursing, swearing John Newton or the rich wretch that was Zacchaeus, Christ's grace is sufficient for you as well. Oh, do you perhaps feel just like Zacchaeus? I'm sure that's how Zacchaeus felt. And we're going to look at this even as we look through the message. That this is how Zacchaeus felt. I'm the lowest of the low. But Christ came and saved him. Came and saved this thief, this extortioner. The person of Zacchaeus. But notice secondly here the determination by Zacchaeus. The determination by Zacchaeus. Verses 3 and 4 we read, he sought to see Jesus who he was, but he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Christ had come to Jericho, and whenever he was beginning to walk through the streets, this tax collector, he dropped all that he was doing. He wanted to see this man for himself. The news greatly excited Zacchaeus that the Messiah had come to Jericho. And Zacchaeus was dead eager and dead keen to see Christ. Zacchaeus was obviously curious. And that's why I believe he went to see him in the first place. Why he went and he could have still been working. As I said, he was in a position of prominence. I'm sure he had many a thing to do. But when Jesus was in town, Zacchaeus made sure he saw the Lord Jesus. Now, as he tried to see Christ, verse 3 tells us that he was little of stature. Just simply means he wasn't all that tall. And as he tried to see Christ, he couldn't see because of his height. And he was blocked out by the crowd. But the crowd wasn't going to stop this determined man. Verse 4, you then read that he ran before Christ, meaning that as Christ was walking through Jericho and as the crowd was following him, he actually ran just in front of the Lord Jesus and he climbed up a sycamore tree so that he'd get a great view of Christ. Now, this would have been embarrassing to Zacchaeus. The crowd would have known him. He would have been well known in society because of his occupation, because of his job, and the fact that Christ was just going on before, and all of a sudden Zacchaeus sort of runs in front of him and then climbs up a tree. People would have seen this. They would have known him, as I have said. But it seems that Zacchaeus, he just forgot himself. He forgot his standing in life. He forgot his occupation. He forgot his smallness. And he did everything that he possibly could just to get a glimpse of Christ. And in having an opportunity to meet Christ, you will always meet with opposition in seeing Christ. And sometimes, just like Zacchaeus, the crowd will stop you from seeing Christ, from seeing him and having a vision and a vital a view of Jesus Christ. Maybe perhaps like Zacchaeus, you want to see him. See him in the sense that you want to see your sins forgiven. You want to approach him by faith. And maybe there's a crowd that's stopping you. Well, I would say to you, like Zacchaeus, learn from his lesson. Be determined to see him and break with the crowd. There are different crowds that stop men and women, boys and girls, from coming to Christ. There is the crowd at work, the crowd at school, perhaps the crowd at university, the crowd at home. There are different crowds that can stop you from seeing Christ. But like Zacchaeus, don't let the crowd stop you from coming to Christ. Indeed, in Mark 10, we read that the Lord Jesus, he continues on in his journey through Jericho. And then as he goes out through Jericho, we then find that he sees a blind man by the wayside. And this blind man, he wants to be healed by the Lord Jesus. And we read in Mark 10:48, sadly, that many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Just after the Lord Jesus has this encounter with Zacchaeus and goes through Jericho, comes to the other side, he's then confronted by blind Bartimaeus. And we read the blind Bartimaeus, he couldn't see, but he knows what's happening. He knows the Messiah's in town. He believes this is his last opportunity that he has to have his blindness removed. But we read there that as he called out for mercy, that many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, there was a crowd there, and I personally believe it was exactly the same crowd that stopped Zacchaeus from seeing Christ. Exactly the same, going through Jericho, the same crowd that's following Jesus. And we read that they told him he should hold his peace. In other words, they said, what has Christ to do with you? You're just a blind man. He doesn't want anything to do with you. And they charged him that he wouldn't say anything. But this blind man was determined. And we read there that he cried out the louder for mercy. He didn't listen to the crowd and was determined to be healed by Christ. And in seeing Christ, whilst you will meet with opposition, you're also to possess determination. You are to break with the crowd and bow before the Saviour. Oh, don't worry about the crowd. There will always be a crowd that will stop you from coming to Christ, even stop you from walking with Christ and stop you in following Christ. Do all that you can to have your yearning and your cravings met in Christ. Don't let anything or anyone stop you. This is where Zacchaeus was. He's determined. He's determined. Yes, he's a terrible man, but he's determined to see Christ. The person of Zacchaeus, the determination of Zacchaeus. I want you to notice thirdly here the observation of Zacchaeus. Verse 5 we read, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Whenever Zacchaeus ran up the sycamore tree, it was, of course, to get a greater view of Christ. But while Zacchaeus wanted to view Christ, amazingly in verse 5, we now find the roles are reversed. And it's not Zacchaeus looking at Jesus, it's Jesus looking up at Zacchaeus. The emphasis here, then, is really on Christ. Christ here is the one who has the emphasis, who takes the fore. He's the one who, as it were, comes to the bottom of the sycamore tree and looks up at little old Zacchaeus. And whenever he looked up, remember, he never would have met Zacchaeus before. He looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down." How did Christ know the name of Zacchaeus? Because he is God. And because Christ is omniscient. He's all-knowing. And so he knew all about Zacchaeus. He knew him inside. He knew him outside. J.C. Ryle says concerning Zacchaeus, "If there was ever a soul sought and saved without having done anything to deserve it, that soul was the soul of Zacchaeus." And that's exactly right. Here we find Christ seeking Zacchaeus. And as he sought Zacchaeus, he knew all about him. He knew him by name. He knew that he was a tax collector, that he had taken more than he should have, knew he was an extortioner, that he had wronged people, that he had robbed people, that he was twisted inside, that he was despised outside. But despite all of this, despite the fact that Zacchaeus was a great sinner, he looked up the tree and in grace he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And the call of Christ is not without knowledge, but with knowledge. He calls you with complete knowledge of who you are and what you have done in the past. And perhaps you think you've let him down too much. You've sinned too much. And that Christ, as he is calling you this evening, that perhaps Christ has got it all wrong. Well, he hasn't. Christ, he calls you knowing all there is to know about you. Indeed, there was perhaps no greater a nuisance to the cause of Christ than the Apostle Paul. He killed Christians, he slandered Christians, he persecuted Christians. In fact, when he was on the road to Damascus, he was on his way to get letters to drag Christians to jail. And as he was on his way to do this, we read that Christ comes and steps into his life. And in Acts 9, verse 4, we read, Saul heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And despite all of the harm that he had done to the cause of Christ, and all the sin that he had committed before Christ, Christ stopped him, called his name, and called him to himself. And as well as knowing your felonies, Christ, he knows your identity. He knows all there is to know about you, and yet despite all of that, he desires that you would be one of his followers. He knows you. He knows you. As he called Zacchaeus by name, he calls you this evening. If you're not yet a Christian, he is calling you, despite all of you that you've done, despite the fact that, like Zacchaeus, you might be a deep sinner, a dark sinner, a depraved sinner. He still says to you, like he said to Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You know, there was a tea for officers and their wives in the army. And the general of the army, as they were at this tea, he was delivering a very, very long speech. There was quite a crowd gathered that day with their families. And a young lieutenant listened to this general waxing eloquent. And he nudged the lady beside him and he said, what a pompous and unbearable old man that general is. The woman turned to him and said, excuse me, lieutenant, do you have any idea who I am? The man said, no, ma'am, I'm sorry. She said, I'm the wife of the man you just called an unbearable, pompous idiot. Oh, he said, do you have any idea who I am? And the wife said, no. And with that, the young lieutenant, he got up out of his chair and he immediately left the dinner. And you might think that Christ doesn't know you. But I want to tell you tonight that Christ knows all about you. He knows all about you. And in spite of that, in spite of this wonderful fact that you have sinned many, many a time and let him down many, many a time, he calls you by name. The person of Zacchaeus, the determination, the observation of Zacchaeus. And notice fourthly here the reaction of Zacchaeus. How did he react when Christ called him to himself? Verse 6, we read, and he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. Christ had travelled right under the sycamore tree to where Zacchaeus was and called him. Imagine the shock that this would have been to Zacchaeus. He's thinking to himself, me? There's many a person in the crowd that Christ could have turned to, that Christ could have saved. Many a person looking helped, many a person looking healed. Yet Christ came and was interested in just plain old dark Zacchaeus. And how did he respond then? He responded immediately. And he responded with great joy. Christ looked up at the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down, make haste. This is exactly what he did. Verse 6, he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. And as he received him joyfully, I believe that this was the actual moment of Zacchaeus' conversion. Because he realized, how does this man know my name? He must know everything about me. He realized that this was Christ, the Messiah, the omniscient God. This was the one who was calling him. This is the one who the prophet spoke about. And this was the one who would ultimately die on the cross for his sin. And so he responded to the call of an omniscient Christ, and he received him joyfully. And rather than taking your joy, when you come to Christ, he gives you joy. When he calls you and converts you, he gives you true joy. You know, some may say there's no point in becoming a Christian. It's all rules, all regulations, all rites, all rituals. There's no joy, it's just plain old boring. Well, when you respond to and come to Christ, it's the exact opposite. Christ, he gives you true joy. He gives you true joy because you have peace with him, peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. You have the great joy of knowing that whatever would befall you in life, that all is well with your soul. You think of Philip when he went down to Samaria and saw revival in Samaria, preached Christ there, many were saved. You read in Acts chapter 8, verse 8, there was great joy in that city. And with salvation comes jubilation. There comes a wonderful sense of joy of knowing that all is well with your soul. Yes, life will throw you many a curveball. Life will throw you many a trial, many a difficulty. But you have the wonderful joy of knowing that all is well with your soul. Oh, circumstances might take your happiness for a while, but they'll never take your joy. That's something that can never be taken from the Christian. You know, Voltaire was a French philosopher and poet. He was a well-known critic of Christianity. And on his deathbed, after rejecting God and rebelling against God for many a year, he said these words. He said, "I am the most miserable man on earth. I wish I'd never been born." And sadly, that is the dying words of many a person who has never come to Christ. "I wish I'd never been born." But you know, that is not the dying cry of the Christian. Because the dying cry of the Christian, there is a great sense of joy that they're now entering the immediate presence of their Savior. And this is what happened with Zacchaeus. He realized this, that there's something special about this man. He knows me by name. He knows all that I've done. And there he was saved just at the bottom of the sycamore tree. He was saved and experienced tremendous jubilation. I want you to notice lastly and quickly here the manifestation of Zacchaeus. Verse 8 we read, "Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Zacchaeus was now a Christian. He's saved and he immediately shows it. In the opening verses, verse 2, Dr. Luke, he seems to emphasize the fact that Zacchaeus was rich and that riches mastered him. But now we find in this verse, now being a Christian, Zacchaeus, he shows that riches no longer master him, but he masters his riches. He shows that he's a Christian by offering to give half of whatever he possessed in life to the poor. Now he was saved, there was a different perspective in life. He also wanted to make restitution with those he had wronged in the past. Remember how we considered that as a tax collector, he probably committed many an extortion, taken more than it was rightly his. And he says wonderfully, "If I have taken anything from any man, I restore him fourfold." He offers to pay four times as much that he had taken from them in the past. What a change is now seen in Zacchaeus. And with conversion, there then comes changes. You will show that you're a Christian by doing the things a Christian does. You will show you're a Christian by the changes in your life. And maybe perhaps you have just come to Christ. Maybe you've been a Christian for some time. You will show that you're a Christian. Here's the case. He has a desire immediately. Immediately he's saved and he has a desire to help the poor. He has a desire to make restitution where he had once caused offense and done wrong. You know, the Lord Jesus illustrates one wonderful truth in the conversion of Zacchaeus. He illustrates the truth of verse 10, that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ could have saved anyone that day, could have singled out any individual in the crowd that day, but he singled out and he saved Zacchaeus. And as he sought and saved Zacchaeus, I believe that he also came to seek and save you too. Oh, come to Christ tonight. Come and be saved. Come and experience what Zacchaeus experienced, the joy of sins forgiven. May God bless his word to your hearts tonight.